this day. Lord, thank you for everyone that's here this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. And we thank you for what happens when your word comes into contact with a willing heart. And we pray for those willing hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to Western Mountains Baptist Church. I am glad you're here this morning. My name's Dean Stanley. I am not the pastor here. I'm filling in today so that our pastor Tom and his wife Betsy can enjoy a little break and some time away. So if you're visiting here with us for the first time, please plan to come back when Pastor Tom is here. Please. I wanted to speak with you this morning about something that's been on my mind and on my heart lately. It seems like it's been coming up a lot. In Sunday school class, in Monday night men's study, and in other conversations. And it's about God's calling on your life. His pursuit of you, his desire to have a relationship with you, and his plan for your obedience. Have you felt God calling you ever? Now, that could be him calling you into that initial relationship with him, or it could be him calling you into some walking in obedience of some path. Have you ever seen it? Have you ever witnessed it where God is calling someone and they hear it and they weigh it? What's this going to cost me? What's this going to cost me? Because hearing that calling, responding to that calling comes at a price. Some will even determine that that price is too high and they don't respond to the calling. I've seen that live in person. I imagine many of you have seen that live in person too. I want us to look at an example in Scripture. You can turn with me in your Bibles or follow along on the screen behind me. In Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 16. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself." So I don't know if you were counting, but that's only six. But, you know, he was giving him the highlights there. And the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. Then what then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or farms, for my name's sake, will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So here we see an interesting teaching. Honestly, I think this passage on its own can be a little bit confusing. At first, it seems like Jesus is almost teaching salvation through philanthropy. Sell all you own and give it to the poor. But we know that's not his gospel. We know that's not what he's saying there. Instead, Jesus was testing the willingness of the individual to surrender. Because you see, when he said to him, sell all your possessions and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. We often think of it in that terms of, you know, he didn't want to sell all his stuff. He had too much stuff weighing him down. But it was also, and come follow me. So he was testing his willingness to surrender. Does he test ours? Ever? That's what God wants. That's when he can work in us, is when we surrender. Have you ever gone through anything difficult to bring you to that surrender point? Yeah. The walk of following Christ is about surrender. It's about the alignment of our priorities and our will with his will. Let's look at another passage that speaks to this. Luke chapter 14. Starting with verse 16, it says this. But he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done, and there is still room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. I want to clarify a little bit what I believe that passage is saying. I don't believe that Christ is talking about literally hating our families. I believe he's speaking about having our priorities in order and having a single-minded focus when it comes to following him. It begs the question, though, what are the obstacles in our lives to walking in faith? You know, there are teachings in the Bible that turn people off sometimes. And they make excuses about them. But when we accept the teachings of the Bible and align our will with God's will, right? When we determine to follow him, something amazing happens. That's why, in addition to teaching about counting the cost, Jesus teaches this in Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How's an easy yoke sound? How does a light burden sound? How does rest for your souls sound? That's what he's calling us to. That's the calling. That other stuff that gets in the way that we have to go through to get there, let it fall away. I want to tell you an exciting story from this past week about what the Lord did when my wife and my son Declan and I decided to listen and respond to God's calling to obey. And I want to stress to you that this story is about what God did and about how he blessed those who were willing to be used and about how he answered their prayers. This past Wednesday evening, Annette and Declan and I were at home and we were just relaxing. You know, sometimes that relaxing means everybody's looking at a screen, right? Anybody look at a screen when they're relaxing? You got one of these? Okay, so I have this one. And then I have the tablet that's a little bit bigger than that, and that's good for relaxing. And then I have the PC with the slightly bigger screen, and that's good for relaxing. And then I have the television that's hooked up to everything, and then that's really good for relaxing. And sometimes I get so relaxed that I wake up several hours later. But thankfully, thank you, Lord, we both happened to be awake. That was miraculous in itself, but God was already working there. Anyway, I say all that to say this. Annette saw a post on Facebook that Lucy Malevsky's dog, Zach, had wandered off. And the post mentioned that Zach is a brown and white Jack Russell Terrier and that Zach is blind. And we have a picture of Zach that John's going to pop up there for us so you can all see what Zach looks like. Is he awesome? Everybody say, "Aw." I know. One of God's beautiful creatures right there. So my family lives on the same street as Lucy's family. We live on opposite sides of the street, but we live on the same street and about a mile apart. And as soon as she read that post, in my heart, I said, "We got to go find that dog. We got to go find that." And I started to pray. I said, "Lord, would you let Zach be found today? Lord, can this happen? So I said to Annette, you want to go? Are you in? And she said that she was in. Now, in our relationship, I have to tell you, honestly, it's fair to say that I might be a little bit more adventurous and spontaneous, and Annette might be a little more reserved and cautious. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. I think it's one of the reasons that the Lord brought us together many years ago, and it's one of the things that keeps our relationship interesting to this day. I've heard it said, if you and your spouse are exactly alike, one of you is unnecessary. So I was glad she was in on this. So I texted Lucy and I said, Lucy, do you need help finding your dog? And she calls me and she says she's driving back from East Millinocket. She's not in Strong. She's driving back from East Millinocket. She's not going to get home until after dark. And so we drove down and talked to Charles, Lucy's father, confirmed that Zach had not been found yet, and the three of us headed out. At this point, it's about 7:45 p.m. So anyway, when Annette and I are ready, I say to Declan, come on, let's go. I grab a flashlight and I grab a leash. And there's a reason that I said to my wife, are you in? But I said to my son, come on, let's go. Well, on the one hand, I'm seeking God's affirmation of the calling. And on the other hand, I'm seeing strictly this is an opportunity for service, training, and blessing. So anyway, we're down there. We go out to wander in the backyard. Don't worry, it's not that kind of a story. And so I'm whistling. I'm calling out to Zach occasionally. We're down in back of the houses. And the whole time I'm praying, Lord, let us find Zach. I know Lucy's praying on her drive home from East Millinocket. And by this time, that Facebook post had been shared like 15 times. And so who knows how many people have seen it and they're praying. So there's a lot of prayers going up for this little dog. And the way the terrain goes on South Main Street in Strong, it goes street, sidewalk, front lawn, houses, back lawn, really steep banking, and then woods to the river, or the brook of the river. So at one point, Declan and Annette and I had all split up so we could cover as much ground as we could cover in a short amount of time. Declan had scrambled down over that steep banking, and he headed north parallel to Main Street looking for Zach and nothing. You know, I had been looking around outbuildings and old cellar holes and antique cars and under bushes, and you know, we don't know. Is he bedded down somewhere? Is he just chilling out? Is he wandering? Is he hurt? No idea. So Annette catches up to me and she says, you know, I think you and Declan should stick together. It's one of those things where she didn't want me to find the dog and lose our son at the same time. You know, wives can be really funny about stuff like that. So Declan and I catch up and we're traveling together. Annette gets in the car and she's driving the streets, seeing if she can see Zach anywhere. Since Declan has already headed north, he and I decide to head south parallel to Main Street. And we find this four-wheeler trail that takes a gentler path down over that very steep banking. And so we go down there. And, you know, I should tell you, I'm a little bit hard of hearing. I know. And so every once in a while, Deca would say, "Oh, I think I heard something." "Oh, it's just a squirrel." "Oh, I think I heard something." "Oh, it was just a bird flying through the trees." And I'm hearing nothing, you know, nothing at all. I'm whistling because I can whistle really loud. I'm calling out to Zach, and you know, so that's the way we were working that. Meanwhile, I'm praying the whole time. "Lord, let us find Zach. Let's find this little dog." So by now it's well after 8 p.m. It's starting to get dark, especially down in the woods under the canopy. You know, it's starting to get dark, and I'm thinking, man, you know, this isn't going to be good after dark. But, you know, think about it. For Zach, he's blind. It's been dark the whole time. It doesn't matter to him if it gets dark or not. But the woods change after dark. Can I get an amen on that? So Declan and I decide to go in a different direction. We head back up that four-wheeler trail. And we stop like halfway up. And so we stop. I whistle. I yell. Declan listens. And he says, "Dad, I hear him." He says, "I hear him. He's right over there." I said, "What do you hear?" He says, "I hear his footsteps on the floor of the forest coming toward us." And we're looking in that direction, and he goes, "There he is." Thank God for young ears and young eyes. So he sees him, and sure enough, here comes Zach bebopping through the forest. And so I'm hollering to him. I'm calling his name. I'm hoping he comes closer. "Lord, help him come in this direction." So, yeah, he hears his name and he comes. He hears the calling and he comes. You see where I'm going with this? He hears the calling and he comes. And so we get up there and he's happy to see us. And I hook the leash on him and we head for home. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. You know, I text Annette and Lucy to let them know that we got him. And we get up to the house. And I swear, as soon as his feet hit his own driveway, he knows exactly where to go. He's got the lay of that land. You know, he was missing from like 2 p.m.-ish to 8, and who knows where he was or how he was getting there. But once he gets back to home base, he knows what to do. And Lucy's dad, Charles, comes out, and it was so funny because we unhook him from the leash, and he walks up the ramp right to the front door, and he stops. And I can tell he's figuring out, by whatever methods he uses, he's figuring out, is that door open or closed for me to go through there? And it was open, and in he trotted, and off he went. Everybody happy. So I want to ask you, does the creator of the universe care about a little lost blind terrier in the woods of Strong, Maine? I believe so. I believe he does. In Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 7, it says this: "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. So I tell you that story this morning in order to praise God for his calling and for his answer to prayer, but also to ask some questions. In that story of Zach, are we ever found to be playing the role of the blind dog? Have we wandered away, off the path, in the wilderness, and heard a voice calling us home? Do we respond, or do we run further out into the wilderness? Or, different questions for that. If God will call me to go help find a lost dog, are there times when I have missed the calling of God to take action and pitch in and respond and help? Maybe even times when it involved a person and matters of eternity. So what's God calling you to today? Is he calling you into a relationship with him? Is he calling you into a deeper relationship with him? Is he calling you into obedience in an area of your life? You know, sometimes he calls us to give up stuff that we want to hang on to. Sometimes he calls us to take something up that we want no part of. So is he calling you into action? Let's be ready. Let's be listening for the call. God bless you as you listen for his calling. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your answer to prayer and for the way that you work in the smallest details of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you care. Father, thank you for the way that you can bless when we choose to heed the call. In Jesus' name, amen.